It's happening.
It's the Afternoon Stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm. Sure. Stay calm.
Now here's Bruno and Zach.
O'clock here in the Music City, so you know what time it is. Time for the Afternoon Stretch here on Nashville Sports Radio. Hope everybody is having a terrific Friday before the holiday break. It is a warm one out there today. 105 is what my car temperature reading said today. So I hope you're all staying cool, staying calm, staying collected as we're getting to the break. Have a short show today. We're going to be done by 5:25 for some Braves baseball, but we've got some fun to be had for sure. First off, no Bruno Reagan today. Oh, we can take a deep breath in. You know, no pressure of having Bruno in the studio. Just it feels good to have it. Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here. All day today, if you want to jump in, 615-844-5600. As always, we're always coming to you live from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. Ray Dosky, doesn't it feel good? No Bruno in here. It feels like there's less crazy in the air.
Yes, it does.
See, it does. Less crazy feels good sometimes. Mm-hmm. This is making me reminisce when he was at USFL, and it was just you and I just coming in. What was I saying before the show? Talking a little ball. You know, just talking some ball, man.
That's it, man. By the way, how are you, Bruno?
I'm all right.
Stop asking me about that. Stop asking me about it. I'm all right.
By the way, how are you, Zach, today?
I'm well.
Are you in vacation mode yet?
Dude, hey, look.
Since Monday.
When do you hit vacation mode? When you know a vacation's coming up?
A week prior. Or the weekend prior to me going.
Yeah.
So let's say if I leave like on a weekday, like that Friday or Saturday prior, I've checked out.
Yeah.
I've stopped replying to emails. I have stopped talking to people. Yeah.
I probably hit it Wednesday. I think I hit this past Wednesday. I was like, oh, I was like eating stuff that I shouldn't be eating and like not going to the gym. I felt it.
You're swollen enough for the gym, for the beach right now.
Yeah, no.
You're swollen enough.
Hey, man. Hear that? I'm married. I don't care what anyone thinks what I look like on that beach.
Yeah.
No, it hit me. And then also, you know, it's being this time of year as well, like outside of going on vacation next week, 4th of July, it's just something about this time where inherently inside of me, I just think this is the do nothing time.
It is.
You know, it's just like
for everyone.
Yeah. It's like I want to hang out with some friends. I want to hang out with family. I want to bust the grill out, smoker out. Yeah, you know, I want to have a good time and just hang out. That's where I'm at right now. That's where I'm feeling right now. Like, we're hanging out on the show today. We're going to talk some stuff. We got Dave Stewart coming on at 5 o'clock today to talk about Nashville Stars and Music City Baseball and MLB coming to Nashville. So I hope Mike in Melrose has got his ears pinned up for 5 o'clock because that'll be a fun little interview with
Smoke. That's if he's still not in Florence.
Well, yeah. I mean, see, this is the good thing, Ray. WNSR app can go with you all across the country.
Very true.
So a real WNSR listener has the WNSR app downloaded on their phone.
Absolutely. So wherever you go, we go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're always there for it. And every car's got Bluetooth pretty much nowadays, you know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, hook it up, get in your car, run the app, hang out, drive to Florence, Alabama, or wherever you want to go, you know? But, yeah, no, Smoke will be on at 5 o'clock. That'll be a fun one.
By the way, do you have your vacation, like, planned out? Are you a planner? When you go to vacation, or is
Ray,
it your wife?
Do I strike you as a planner?
No.
Yeah, I'm not much of a planner. I'm not a planner. My wife for sure is like.
So I'm not talking about like planning like things to do because you already have an idea of what things you do. Like for example, you're going to eat what is that?
Shrimp. Oh, buddy.
And a ton of it.
A ton of shrimp. It's the only time I will eat shrimp. I will not. People call me crazy. Like they could freeze it and bring it up here. I don't care. No. I don't eat shrimp outside of the coast. If I'm on a coast, I'll eat shrimp, but not here. I'm not doing it in Nashville. I'm not going to eat shrimp tacos from Taco Bell or where, you know, some gross shrimp. I'm not going to do it. You can't make me. It'll never happen. So, yeah, but my wife's a planner for sure. I'm going to be playing some golf down there. Got that planned out. I'm more of a person. Like, first off, I got to say this. This is just me. I've told you this before. I like working. I like doing what we do. Like, we don't have hard jobs. Like, we're not digging ditches. We're not, you know, I like what we do.
You just make it look easy.
I don't know if I make it look easy. I don't know. We have a very low risk job. We're talking sports. That's it. You know, people could hate us. People could like us. People think our topics are stupid, or they could think they're great, whatever. Right. I don't do vacation. So I don't really know how to like properly plan out a vacation. I'm more of a person like my last vacation was 5 years ago, and it was, that was, you know, when I think of vacation, I think of like going away, not doing anything. Cause some people say like, you know, we got married in Alaska, but we were there to get married. You know what I mean? Right. Like there was other things going on for it. But outside of that, like I want to have no plans, which whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But I've never had a vacation just because I like, and it's not like I'm like, oh, poor me, I never had a vacation. That's not it. I like doing what I do. I like showing up.
How many days of vacation for you?
Ever since you've been here, how many days have you seen me ever miss? One? You've seen me miss one
month,
show. Yes.
A month. A month.
No. A month. No, no. One, you've seen me miss one show the entire time since the two and a half, going almost 3 years now. You've worked at the station. Because I like it. I have a good time, man. We come in here. We have fun. I love our callers. Phone line's always open, 615-844-5600. But I'm doing it this time. I'm taking a vacation. That's going to happen. Bruno's going to be covering it. It's going to be Bruno and Ray all week next week. That'll be fun. Four shows because Monday, 4th of July, everybody be safe, even though I think there's a burn ban like all across Tennessee right
there
now.
There is.
Yeah, nobody can. Which is, you know, I understand it.
Is it all through Tennessee or just Davidson County?
Well, Sumner, where I live, has it too right now. So I know we know two counties.
Williamson County is so lax on that. That's where we have to go light our fire.
You got irrigation out there, you know.
Yeah. When you go to Williamson County, they're like, yeah, whatever you want to do.
Are you a fireworks lighting guy or a fireworks watcher?
I definitely am, but this year my wife's saying no. Really? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every year, like, we did it 1 year. We just completely, like, spent $400
yeah.
on fireworks. And I'm not talking about the ones.
Go that, quick,
no,
man.
Not, yeah, exactly. It's like 20 minutes of, like, okay, I want more. That was not
right.
appealing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's never, like you said, it's never enough when no. it comes to stuff like that. And I, many years prior to that, because I always grew up watching and loving fireworks, being in the D.C. area, you couldn't set up any bottle rockets, things that just set off on the air. It was like those little like whistlers. Ooh, like they had, yeah. The annoying, like, okay, that was cool. Like, wow.
You know? This is all
I want a Roman candle. Give me a Roman candle. Let me shoot it at somebody. Like, you
know? See, that's how I grew up. Me and my brother and like neighborhood friends and everything, we would have the bottle rocket wars.
Yeah.
Which I mean, you know, nowadays people are like, oh, the children, you know, but like we were aiming for each other's eyes and stuff like that. We were trying to hurt each other all the time. That I can't tell you how many times I threw off M80s inside the house. You know, like just to wake people up or throw it right underneath where they're sitting or something. They have no idea. Just bop, you know.
M80s, those things are.
I don't even think they're legal anymore.
They're
right?
definitely not legal. It's a bomb.
Yeah.
That thing is a bomb.
What are they now? They're like M20s or M20s, something.
They're
them.
A little softer now.
Yeah.
But they're
yeah,
still,
yeah.
I mean, they still pack a bunch of them. M80s, man, if you would like put them into like a little hole in like some type of someone's lawn, oh, man. We used to do that when we were kids. Like, we'd get handled an M80. If there's a neighbor we didn't like, yeah. We were lighting you guys.
Tormenting people.
No, the guys I grew up with when I was a kid, they were so mean. Like, if there was a guy, like, in our neighborhood that took care of their grass, yeah. Like, it was, like, yeah. And, like, because, you know, like, there was one guy that always, always gave us a hard time. I'm talking about my teens.
Yeah.
We'd ever walk, whatever, and, like, sometimes some people's houses, they would have either a fence lawn or a non-fence lawn. This one guy who took care of his lawn every day. I mean, like, it was like his baby. And literally, like, we'd go by his neighborhoods and, like, we'll walk on his lawn sometimes, or people walking their dogs on their lawn and they decided to do a crapper.
Yeah.
He'd yell at us. He would know. Like, he had, like, this, he had this, like this kinetic energy. Like, he knows someone's on his lawn. He rushes out the door, like, get off my lawn. I'm like, how did you see me?
This was way before cameras. Yeah, nobody had a ring.
Your
back
blinds
then.
Are closed. Your door's closed. Like, how do you know? And then, you know, one year, I think, was one of the guys in the neighborhood who was, like, the super bad kid. And he was just like, yeah, we're going to...
His name was Ray Dawson.
No, he was definitely not me. I was always the one that always just kind of... I was always, like, the more the interest type, like, always, like, curious kid. Like, I was just like, I'll come for the ride, but I'm not doing anything. And the one guy did it. I mean, he put up three M80s in his lawn.
Two.
Destroyed it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I think I'm that guy.
Yeah.
I'm that, like, get off my yard kind of guy.
You're the other guy. Yeah, you're the guy he hates. Okay, gotcha.
But I'm also, like, the guy who's like, let's also blow up that guy's yard. You know what I mean? I've got mixed personalities right now is what it is, basically.
So you have a little conflict there.
Yeah, I got a little bit of a conflict there. I'm going in
internal
It's very internal
right now. Don't get caught up in the thought. Don't get into your thoughts.
Yeah, get lost there. But, you know, there's two kinds of people out there. There's firework watchers, firework shooters. I know people that have never in their life shot off a firework and have no plan to forever. But I don't like hanging out with those people. I want to hang out with the people who want to shoot off fireworks. Let's do two cherry bombs in the same tube, and it's going to end up blowing up on the ground, and let's all have memories about this. Like, I don't do the whole, like, going to the Nashville fireworks show and all that. That
requires work.
That's terrifying, because it is.
Because you have to go there, you have to fight with traffic, find a spot.
So much traffic.
And then when you leave, you're like, okay, I'm in my car watching the last 5 minutes of this fireworks display, and I'm out.
Well, and let's say this, too. If you're unfortunately downwind, you're gonna see nothing but colorful smoke. You're not even gonna see the firework. That's what kills me all the time. People go out there and they send all these, which, first off, don't take videos of fireworks and then post them, because I promise you nobody cares. Nobody, your video of fireworks going off from your phone looks like crap. Just go ahead and move on from that.
Yeah,
but the people that post their videos and photos are like, oh man, the final finale at the Nashville fireworks show,
beautiful,
and it's just smoke. All you see is smoke. You don't see any firework.
It looks like a lightning show. Yeah, like a major storm's coming through, because you see the lightning coming through the smoke.
It's just smoke. That's all we're seeing right now, folks. That's all you get. So I like a nice local, like in our own like backyard, do our own thing. Couple of neighbors get together, throw up some fireworks, like have some fun with it. It's fun. That's fun that way. You got to be safe with it.
Probably the best fireworks, like 4th of July, like anything I've done in my entire life. We went to go see some family up in Macomb, Michigan, which is outside of Detroit. And you have like these little neighborhoods, and it was a neighborhood fireworks show war.
Mm.
Like one would like set off like maybe like 5 minutes of like fireworks, and then the other neighbor would do the same thing. And they're right next to one another, like literally a street separating the two neighborhoods. And they would go on for like 20, 30 minutes. And then when you think it's done, no, they just ran right down the street, went to a little fireworks display, bought whatever was, I guess what was left, because once fireworks happens and 4th of July happens, those, you know, they go like half off. They just buy the entire tent, bring it back, and they're like, okay, round two, and they start going on. So it starts like at 7:30, 8 o'clock. It doesn't end until like 11. I enjoy little neighborhood firework wars. I do like that.
Mm, that's what makes it fun, you know? That's the fun side of stuff. You gotta get, you know, involved with it. That's just my thing, though. I know a lot of people that just like sit back and they're like, look, I see all these people blowing up explosions. I don't want to get near it. So I guess I kind of understand that as well.
So are you taking fireworks down to vacation?
No, we'll be flying down. So they do not like fireworks on planes, right?
No.
it's something that's really frowned upon. It's really frowned upon.
That's disappointing. It's a little disappointing.
Won't be able to do that. But what I think I'll find some. I'm mad. It's Florida. You know,
are you going to buy some of you down there?
Yes.
Okay. So you're not going to be the one who's going to just go watch it like a fireworks display just with your little like nice
my
little
wife's
tropical
family,
cocktail in your hand?
They like watching fireworks. And I'm gonna be like, well, this year we're shooting fireworks, everyone. This is you know,
da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
yes, we're gonna. I will be your.
Yep. I might do, because we'll be on the beach, is I might buy one like I might one big like grand finale just to shoot off one thing, you know. But it'll be
off
huge,
like 35 like little
for it inevitably to move around and then fall and shoot at us, and then we have memories.
Buy a nice little $40-$50 like 35 like shot like firework like little dispenser, and you're good.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have some fun with it for sure. But hey, also I want to say this: everybody be safe with the fireworks.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't, you know, don't do stupid stuff and actually hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't be like me when I was 8 shooting bottle rockets in people's eyes.
Or JPP.
That's a great case of it right there. I had a firecracker go off in my hand when I was younger. I lit because there's a wick end and then there's a cotton end, and it was just dark and I lit the cotton end. Well, cotton is very flammable.
Zach, those are called snappers.
Yeah.
You know some of those snappers?
Yeah,
you did those?
No. This was fireworks. They had a little cotton end on.
That was
like
a joke.
Oh, wow. Well, I missed.
You know what a snapper is?
Yeah. It's the little things you throw down people's feet. Yeah, and it's when people are like, no, don't do that. It hurts. You know, it didn't really hurt, but everybody says.
You see somebody who hold like a black cat in your hand. Remember those black cats?
That's what it was. The firecrackers, a little
black cats. Yeah.
I went to light that to throw underneath my brother's chair.
You are so brave.
And I lit the cotton. One blew up and it was up in the air and my hand was flat. So I burnt myself a little bit. I got like a little scarring there.
That's a win.
Yeah, no. I definitely got lucky on that one. I think about that all the time. I'll never forget what I was wearing. You know what I mean? Like one of those memories. Very core memory there. So, hey, speaking of fireworks, there has been a ton in the NBA.
Has there?
Yes.
Yes.
Trades, deals, all these different things. The lead of all of this is the Utah Jazz have traded Rudy Gobert. If you don't know who Rudy Gobert is, you've seen him a million times. He's the infamous COVID spreader NBA player who was touching all the mics and everything. And whenever that it was a Wednesday night, I think it was, that they had that the NBA shut down and all this. And he was like the first case of it for COVID-19. Traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves for players, first round picks. That's, we'll miss all that part. The big story here is Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert are on the same team. How is that going to work?
Oh, it's definitely going to work. You're talking about 2 7-footers? They're going to be a top 10 offense and top 10 defense in the league already.
Well, is this the cause and effect? Because we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, they lost Patrick Beverly, of course.
Yeah, they lose Patrick Beverly, who cried after they won the play-in game and all this stuff. And clearly, you know, Minnesota didn't care about Patrick Beverly at all. But is this the cause and effect of what Steph Curry's modern NBA era is now? That we're, you know, you see threes being jacked up all over the place here. You have the Timberwolves who are saying, look, we're going against the grain. We're not bringing in 3-point shooters, which Cat can, but we're going heavy bigs. We haven't seen, when was the last time we saw heavy bigs in the NBA like this?
Tim Duncan and David Robinson.
That's a long time ago.
Yep.
What year? When was the last time? When was
that? Was in the early.
What was his nickname? The general admiral. That's what I knew. It was a military name, Navy, because he was in the Navy. Navy, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, that we haven't seen that kind of size on one team. I mean, the assumption is now Gobert goes the five, and Cat will go the four. And what do you got to do else there? I mean, you can't go in the paint. You have to shoot from the outside. That's it. There's no way to break in. There's no offense that you're going to be able to run to get them out.
Drive to the lane, easy baskets, within the paint. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be very tough. And I think it's going to be so tough that this is where we're going to see a little bit of a change in the NBA. The three-point, yes, it will still be very effective, but it will not be relied on as much because you're going to have to start matching size on size now. And because you're going to look on the other side. Yeah, people will say, I'll trade a 3 for a 2 all day. They'll say that. But you got to make sure you're making those threes. If you're constantly trading 3s for 2s, but you have Karl-Anthony Towns and Gobert down low, always getting 2s, every trip down, they're just pulling in 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. And you're making 1 out of 10, 1 out of 8, whatever it is from behind the arc, you're going to be falling behind very quickly. You're going to fall behind and not be able to catch up. So I wonder if this is going to be some sort of shift in the NBA from where we've seen it of this, you know, small ball outside shooting to we're going back to a big man NBA era.
Possibly. I think the biggest thing that the Minnesota Timberwolves are trying to do is that for many years, they always had a top 10 pick in the draft. They gave away 4 of them, this their future, basically, to build on the future they have now. You got Karl-Anthony Towns, who just signed a max contract. Many believe that was overpaid.
Yep.
Overpaid, but I think he's prime. I think he's built for the 4 more than the 5. Then you have Anthony Edwards, who had was going into his second year, coming out year, if you will, in terms of like what he's able to do. I think Minnesota's what they're trying to do is trying to build around those two centerpieces on that player. So you have D'Angelo Russell there. Patrick Beverley, yes, he'll be missed, but he was more or less a liability on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no shocker there. I mean, he's never been one of those guys, even though he plays the point, doesn't really drive the ball, can't really make the threes. Defensively, he just plays mental games. He's very clever at that.
Yeah.
But this could be one of those things where, they're going to start to play defensively. They're going to be a top 10 both sides. Rudy Gobert. Back-to-back defensive player of the year. I mean, yeah, it's going to be tough. And I hope Minnesota, I mean, they have an opportunity to really make some noise in the West.
All right, we need to run to a break. If you want to jump in, phone line's wide open, 615-844-5600. I put up a poll also on Twitter, at ZachariahW, if you want. You go check out Nash Sports Radio and see it there as well. The poll was, are you a fireworks shooter or a fireworks watcher? Right now, watcher is winning by 83% to 16%. And somebody at Crafty Writing on Twitter said, I'm a go yell at the neighbor to stop shooting fireworks at midnight. Where is that option?
Oh, there's always that. That should be the other.
Yeah, that should have been the other. All right, we need to take a break. Back after this here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. Heavy traffic still trying to get down through Williamson County. We see it starting to slow down here on 65 southbound around 840 as you try to get into Spring Hill area. Lots of radar down. 65 all the way down into Alabama. It's picked up with that traffic even more now on I-40 trying to get over into Lebanon down through Wilson County this afternoon. Lots of radar in Wilson and Smith County. Foothills Mercantile Company creates handmade gifts in the Smoky Mountains. They've got beautiful paintings and so much more. Check them out on Facebook at Foothills Mercantile Company in Ware's Valley, Tennessee. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey, Nashville, right here from Run With It. I know many of us suffer anxiety when going to the dentist, but you need to go check out my amazing friends over at Bite Dentistry, where all my family gets their dental care from. Their mission is to help patients breathe better, smile bigger, and live longer by offering a comprehensive selection of services and total dental care for every member of your family. Bite Dentistry is the only dentist in town trained and certified to offer the Vivos method that helps with people who grind their teeth at night or snore that causes sleep apnea. And what's great about the Vivos method is that it's not only provided for adults, but it's also offered for kids. They also work with a company called Guard Lab, which creates custom mouth guards, which are the same mouth guards used by professional football players. Located at 3212 West End Avenue, Suite 301 Nashville, you can set up an appointment by calling them at 615-866-2129. Once again, that's 615-866-2129. Or you can follow them on social media or online at bitedds.com.
Dry rub wings are back at Slim Chickens. Fresh, fried, and full of flavor. Like smooth and kicking cayenne ranch, zesty lemon pepper, or turn it up with new spicy Nashville hot. Try them today with a meal or feed your hungry crowd. But hurry, they're only back for a limited time. At Slim's, bold flavor is what we do. Download the Slim Chickens app to order and earn rewards.
DQ presents the sound of a summer double play. It's the sound of drumstick pieces and peanuts combined with world-famous soft serve to make two all-star treats. The Drumstick with Peanuts Blizzard and new Caramel Drumstick with Peanuts Blizzard. Grab one today or get it delivered at DQ.com. Official treat of MLB. DQ. Happy tastes good.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. Temps low 90s. Heat index values reading as high as 99. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. Partly cloudy and lows drop to the mid-70s. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Welcome back to the Afternoon Stretch. Ray Dosky, Zach Williams, no Bruno Reagan today. He is out for the day, but back Tuesday, taking over the hosting duties with Ray Dosky all next week, as I will be gone all next week. We've been talking about the NBA trades and everything that's been going on with it. Rudy Gobert, obviously, we talked about that going to Minnesota. But you look back at the other side of it for the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell now, I think, is 100% a piece that you can rebuild around. And that's clearly what they're doing. Woj put out on Twitter, the Jazz gathered 6 first-round picks in the past 24 hours, including 7-footer Walker Kessler, the 22nd overall pick in the 2022 draft. That's a lot of ammo. How quickly can we see the Jazz, though, bring these pieces in to... Because I want to say they're going to try doing this all from the draft, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to try making some trades with some of these first-round picks they have.
Yeah, definitely. If you have that kind of ammunition, you have a lot of moves to make. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can either trade for players, future players, what have you. There's been a lot of changes in Utah. Head coach, you know, no longer there.
Yep.
Rudy Gobert, who we all many thought was not going to re-sign with Utah. He's out now. He's a Minnesota Timberwolf. And Donovan Mitchell, there's been talks about how he wants out. I don't think he's really comfortable playing in Utah. He's not been healthy the last couple of years. I think he's ready to move on. Is he a piece you can build around? Sure. Absolutely. But I feel like there's just a lot of changes coming in Utah, and I don't know if Donovan Mitchell will want to I don't know if he wants to stick around to see that. I can't say for sure because there was a lot of question marks about his ability of being available, wants to stay with the Utah Jazz. Now that Rudy's gone, I think that might change his idea of if he wants to stay there or not.
you want to jump in, 615-844-5600, that's the phone line. They're wide open. Whatever you want to talk about today. We got, you know, NBA stuff. We got UFC fights happening later on. We got a lot of things going on. So we want you to jump in once again. 615-844-5600. Let's start off with Jeff in the Borough. Jeff, how you doing, my man?
What's going on, guys?
Nothing much, brother.
Where are you vacationing? Are you going to stay at home? You going anywhere?
No, so I'm going down to Florida.
Okay.
Yep.
Make sure that skunk don't get in your air conditioner now. You're going to get in your air conditioner later.
That's a winter problem. Once we get to September, that's when me and the skunks go to battle there, Jeff.
They're not in there now making no stink.
Not right now. They go in there for the warmth. Once it starts getting a little cold outside, that's where they start hiding is underneath my vent. And then I start coming into the studio stinking to high heavens.
Okay.
I'll take a tomato bath over at your house.
I bet maybe it's getting there to get cool. You know, it's hot. I bet maybe they're getting there to get cool. You know, it's 102.
They're over my neighbor's pool.
I guess stink that up. I went do something. But I was going to say, guy, what do you think about old Booger's contract yesterday? 4 years, 53 mil a year. What do you think about that? Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean.
Sure did.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's your boy, isn't it, Jeff?
Well, I was going to say he's going to be on the cover NBA 2K23. Be on the cover of it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Second, Wildcat. Former athlete to do it, but Anthony Davis twice, so 16 and 20. So we just, you know, keep on putting him on. He's gonna be on the cover next year. So when y'all pick that game up, y'all think about BBN. Give us a few dollars there.
That was definitely a solid pickup. I think of the two players are available for a new contract between him and Ayton. Booker was the way to go, and there was a lot of talks where KD wanted to play with Booker. He loves Booker.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe
that's still alive. And
that's
well
still alive and
Phoenix,
well. Who knows if the Nets decide to trade him?
I don't know. Old Morant's getting overpaid. He's got like half a turnover. We'll see if he can do something to the most overpaid athletes in Tennessee with John Morant now and half a turnover.
Stop. There's a lot of players that are overpaid in the NBA. I hate to break it to you, Jeff.
A lot of players, period, overpaid. Just in general, every sport.
Some of them overpaid because they won titles. So see, John Morant ain't won nothing. He's had half a turnover. He won nothing.
The guy's 21.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I mean, that's true. He's got a long time.
We're attacking a weird fight
Give him about
Jeff.
4 or 5 years, and he starts to put some weight onto his bones, and like he starts to get a little
stronger.
It's a
weird
stronger.
Fight for Jeff, even. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Jeff already brings weird fights. That's a weird hill to die on.
What I'm saying, though, is put some people around him. Don't give me this stuff. He's got all people. He ain't got enough around him right now.
Oh,
that's what anybody says.
Well,
not
you know,
ready to win a title.
I disagree with that, though, Jeff. You know, if he's healthy against Golden State this last season inside that playoff, then you might have Golden State or getting knocked out, and then it'd be Memphis that would be in the final.
But the healthy is a if.
And let's say this, Jeff. Let's say this. We're 20-5 without John Morant.
Yes.
That was what they ended up being, even going into the playoffs.
They can play without him. I do agree with that.
Jaren Jackson out for 6 months, by the way. We got to say that at some point.
Yeah, but the Braves don't need a Acuña. He's bruised. But they don't need him. Set the bench. You didn't play last year and we won the World Series. Set your ass on the bench. We don't put you down in AA. You be all right. Go on down in AA. You don't do nothing. No way. Bruise that foot.
Hey, Jeff. I appreciate the call in, my man. I disagree with it, though. I disagree. I think the Grizz, I don't want any big name going to the Grizz. Because they have a unit that is growing together, winning together, playing together. There's no reason to stir up the pot and bring in a Durant or bring in a whatever, you know, player that you want to bring into. Because it's, to me, when I look at it, I sit there and say, it's good right now. If Morant does not get injured in that playoff, then you have a perfectly fine Memphis Grizzlies team that is going to be doing big things past that getting knocked out by Golden State. That is just the real truth of everything, is that had he just stayed healthy there, you talk about a Grizzlies team that was ready to compete and win now. So that's the only thing I disagree with that on. You know, you got the Acuña thing, talking about Acuña. Yeah, they won it without Acuña, but Acuña makes the Braves much better.
Can we stick to basketball when we talk about basketball?
Jeff is like a... Pinball,
yes, I know. It's asking a lot. But you think about,
I think Bruno's all over the place.
What
Jeff comes
you know what I'm tired about is all these like these like, you know, all these stars and going to one team, because it looks like it outside of a few teams, it usually doesn't work.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phone lines. If you want to jump in, lines available, 615-844-5600 on this first day of July, by the way. Happy July. Forgot to say that. Today's July 1st. Let's go to Robert. Robert, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing fine. I hope I don't disappoint you. I don't want to talk basketball. I'd like to talk about, you know, talking about those fireworks.
Yeah.
About that big firecracker that was at the bottom of the box that everybody forgot about. and you set it off after everybody set off all these other firecrackers. How about this firecracker of USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten today?
It's so they finally got approved. 2024, we're gonna see UCLA being UCLA and USC in the Big Ten. Tragic for the Pac-12, because if you're talking about two pillars of the Pac-12, it's them.
Yeah,
you know it's them. Robert, I think it's first off, geography is not taught in college anymore. Yeah, like it just it doesn't make any damn sense that they're going to be over here in Michigan and
in the winter. Are they going to appreciate that?
These California West kids, West Coast coming out. They're going to be playing, you know, in the big house or in
Wisconsin.
I mean, they're going to play in some cold areas. So I don't know if they thought this through. Although I think though this is just the nail in the coffin for the eventual end of NCAA football and whatever it does become between the Big Ten and the SEC, if not the SEC just absorbing everybody.
I agree. And I think, you know, I was working today, but, you know, people checking out message boards when that's a slow day. And just seeing the comments that I think the old school people are like, this is it. This is the end. You know, I know the SEC is still around, but they're like, this is no longer what we knew growing up, so to speak, and especially like Big Ten. It's like, what the heck? You know, we thought it was odd when they went and got Rutgers and Nebraska, and now it's like, holy cow, like to your point, what I fear is going to happen is it's really coming. It's all about football. It's all driving towards football. But what's going to happen is like the tennis team, you know, how in the world can they – they're probably already bleeding money anyway, and now they got to catch a flight. You know, you can't drive from L.A. to Chicago for a match. I don't think they thought it out. And to me as a fan, I guess I'm kind of torn that – I love college football, but to me, it's starting to become more and more like NFL-like, so to speak. You know, all the money, let's get on TV all the time, all the heck with this, you know. You know, it's nothing for L.A. to go play New York in the NFL, but now it's just, I don't know. It's one thing if it's one game a season in the non-conference, but I don't know. It's just, I don't know how much longer we're going to recognize the current state of college football.
Yeah, no, it is getting more professional. I mean, you can't say college football players aren't professional now with NIL. They're getting paid to play football. So that makes you a pro. That makes you a professional person whenever business you're in. And I understand it. I don't exactly like it, but I do understand how these kids are wanting to get paid. And to your credit, talking about the TV contracts, you know, that's the reason why USC and UCLA, they want to do that so they can make even more money to fund all these different, you know, the tennis or the soccer or whatever, because we know those don't make money in the grand scheme of things. I wonder for the Pac-12, what kind of TV contracts are you going to keep getting? You know, who's going to be tuning in for, you know, Washington taking on, you know, Oregon or something? I mean, it's just not... it's not as attractive across the entire country outside of their region over there, and especially when everybody's already asleep when these games start, you really have no reason to. So that's going to be a whole big thing that I think eventually is what's going to kill the NCAA football. I don't think NCAA is going to keep going as it is because of all the other sports, but I think football is going to turn into some different thing that is still college football, but it's just ran differently. It's under a new umbrella. It's whatever verbiage you want to say. It's definitely changing. And the people like on those message boards, you got to get used to it because you have no choice. The money is being chased. That is the new world of sports, not just in football. Look at golf. Talking about LIV Golf. You know, those guys are going over there for $100 million. Mm-hmm. What do you think UCLA wants to get that Fox money for the TV contracts? You know, USC wants to get that Fox money for being on Big Ten and have the Big Ten network and all this different stuff. It's a huge part of it. So it's the same thing for Texas and Oklahoma, who will eventually be here with the SEC.
2025, right?
2025, which that just blows my mind. Why are they 2025? But then you got these two they're going to be here 2 years. That's questionable to me, Robert.
What's crazy is that the shift has not begun, right? Because what we remember from college football no longer exists, right? Mm-hmm. With the NILs, the transfer portals, it's college football will never be the same ever again.
No, unless something happens. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you know, and I'm not opposed to, like, the NIL. Now, I think it's getting a little out of control, but I've always, to me, it's almost been kind of like a Ponzi scheme. Of the, South Park had a great episode years ago.
I know what you're talking about.
Athletes, and they nailed it. I mean, you play, and we make all this money. Well, where's my money? Oh, you know. And so I certainly understand that, but I think it's going, it's spiraling. It's going to, it's almost going to be like having a sports car with no brakes on it if they're not careful. Kind of like, to me, it's almost, if it goes the bad route, it's going to be like NASCAR. You know, growing up, I wasn't a huge NASCAR fan, but I knew who the race drivers were. People would talk about it, and now I don't hear anybody hardly talk about NASCAR. Mm-hmm. But yet they went on the whole, let's get it on TV, let's build these big tracks, and all of a sudden the diehards are just like, you know, I liked my Bristol and Talladega and Daytona and Pocono, but these, no, you know, then they kind of just tuned out. And that's what I hope college football doesn't do. They keep chasing the money, but then, like for example, I grew up a Vandy fan, went to school at Auburn for my master's, and, you know, you can get into a Vandy game for a decent price, and I think we all know why. You know, the fan base just isn't that huge. But then you look at Auburn, and, you know, last time I took the family down, I was like, man, I'm paying a small fortune just to get into a game, and it wasn't even a marquee game.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now the big stadiums, they're not filling them up like they were. People are staying at home. Like, I mean, gee whiz, it's nothing for me to sit at home and be like, you know what? Here, I've got my own fridge. I've got my own bathroom. I can hit pause on the TV. I can't do that to live games. To me, that's where I think I miss. You know, I love going to a live game. It's just, you know, it's just something about it. But I'm seeing more and more as this TV money comes in. I'm like, you know, the game's already long enough. You know, gee whiz. I can remember a college football game lasting 2.5 hours at 2 o'clock on an October Saturday, and now it's like, no, if you're not on CBS or ESPN at 2 o'clock, you're going to be 11 or you're going to be 7 or 7:30, and it's just, that's what I miss. And I think that they're just chasing the money so much that I just don't know how much longer college football is going to be recognizable. But anyway, y'all have a good weekend, fellas, and enjoy the show.
Hey, appreciate it, Robert. Thank you so much. He makes a lot of good points. He makes a lot of good points because there is a there's a side of this where it's tough for me. You know, of course, here in the United States, we have 4th of July coming up, capitalist society. I will say this, Bruno said this many times, make as much money as you possibly can doing the thing that you're doing. And these guys, whoever it is, whether it's college kids playing football, whether it's golfers, whatever, that's what their goal is at the end of the day. They're just trying to make money. And that's the same for these teams. That's the same for these TV markets. That's the same for every other business in the world right now that's trying to go. I am going to wonder at some point how much of a slice of pie can go around. Because we have a million, I mean, computers, phones, iPads, TVs, all this different way to consume, right? As consumers, as people watching the program, because at the end of the day, that's who they're trying to cater to. They're trying to cater to the person watching, and that's why UCLA wants to go to the Big Ten. That's why USC wants to go to the Big Ten. They're trying to get to a broader audience to have more people spectate so that way they can turn around those TV contracts and turn around and sell more advertising and say they hit these demographic types and 25 to 54 age, you know, men or women, whatever. That's what they're trying to do at the end of the day. I wonder how much can we keep thinning it down? Because back in the day, you had 8 channels. You get 24 million viewers on a show. Mm-hmm. 24 million people watch a show. Mm-hmm. They would say that was a failure. That was a bad show. Your show would get canceled. Today, there's nothing touching 24 million.
Nope.
Nothing. There's nothing because we have so many different vehicles and way to watch, and everybody's spread out, and everybody has their hyper focus into little niche markets or whatever. That I wonder for football, how could they, you know, for college football specifically. That's why I think the end of it's going to happen for the NCAA is that eventually you're just going to have, it's not the Power 5 conferences. The conferences don't matter anymore. The two conferences, the Power 2 conferences, where only the teams that matter, we're going to take the best out of each one, and they're going to join the SEC. They're going to join the Big Ten, and then that's all the football you're going to watch because nobody else is going to pay attention to Washington. Nobody else is going to pay attention to Kansas football, whatever it is, and these different, whether it be the Big 12 or you know, Pac-12, whatever, outside of all these other ones, nobody's going to pay attention. They're going to fall off. They're going to start losing money. And then the only football we're going to have left in college football is just whoever's a part of the SEC or the Big Ten.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And
that's a future, obviously,
right.
But
and
still.
I know we're up to a break right now, right. But I want to ask you this one question, because my thing that's going through my internal mental clock is, like, who's next? If you're a power conference, and I want you to rank them, in terms of your conference, who are you going after first? Between Notre Dame, Clemson, and Florida State. Rank them. See how you got.
We'll do it on the way back. If you want to jump in, phone lines are wide open, 615-844-5600 here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. We still see that heavy traffic volume, 65 south down through Williamson County into Spring Hill. Lots of radar down through Spring Hill in that area the last couple of hours. Traffic's busy, but it's moving on 65 up into Goodlettsville. Heavy, but looking pretty decent right now on 24. All that traffic headed out towards Montgomery County into Clarksville. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, it's home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When I adopted her, she was a mess. Scabs, itching, licking, missing fur, hot spots, a thin, dull coat. So I take the dog to the vet for the standard run-of-the-mill tests and treatments. No results. I hear your advertisement on the radio.
DinoVite.com.
So I get the 5-pound box of Dinovite and the Lico Chops within a 4-week total. Instead of a German Shedder, I have a German Shepherd. Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life because she gets fed Dinovite. And the results, they're just incredibly outstanding. And she loves it. When you rescue a dog, you have to do the right thing. You've got to feed him right for life. Do the Dinovite. Dinovite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
859-428-1000. DinoVite.com.
Do you find yourself looking for new and exciting things to do locally with your family during the hot summer months? Thanks to Strike and Spare, you don't have to look any further. Sign up today for Kids Bowl Free. Kids Bowl Free is a summer pass where your kids 15 and under receive 2 free games of bowling every day. You can also purchase a family pass that allows you to join in on the fun. Visit any of the 5 local Strike and Spare locations in Hendersonville, Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, and Murfreesboro, or visit kidsbowlfree.com/strikeandspare and sign up today. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Nashville Sports Radio is hitting the road. Join the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show the first Friday of every month as they broadcast live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Check out the WNSR calendar for the dates and be there as Nashville Sports Radio hits the road the first Friday of every month.
Come be part of the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
The Greg Pogue and John Burton Show live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. On the air and everywhere with Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Afternoon Stretch. Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Phone lines wide open, 615-844-5600. We want to talk to you, so you talk to us. Phone lines wide here. I mean, why not? You know, it's Friday, right before the holiday. We're all just, this is what I told Ray. We're just here talking ball today.
Ball.
That's talking some ball with everybody. If you whatever kind of ball you want to talk, basketball, football, baseball, you know, all kinds of ball.
We got you covered.
Got you covered. At 5 o'clock, we're going to have Dave Stewart jumping on with us with Music City Baseball, Nashville Stars. He's the one who is out front right now looking for the ownership. He's using all his resources and everything to bring someone in to find that owner. And we're going to ask him a lot of questions, have a lot of fun with him on the 5 o'clock side. So definitely be waiting for that. Let's go to the phone lines, 615-844-5600. Tony in Nolensville. Tony, how are you doing today, my man?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm doing great. I know y'all listen to the show. Y'all are doing great, and looking forward to a good, I hope, safe weekend with as dry as it's been. You know, everybody's going to be shooting fireworks, and I just hope everybody tries to use some common sense, please.
Water that lawn. Water the lawn.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe God will water the lawn for it. Maybe we'll get some. Maybe we will. Hey, guys, you know, this stuff with UCLA and USC joining, I was sitting thinking, why What's stopping Oregon, Washington, and Washington State for just going and saying, hey, we'll go join the ACC and we'll just travel as far as anybody else can? I mean, that is so stupid that these schools are wanting to get into those type of conferences. And I know what it's all about. We all do. It always comes down to one word, money. But, Zach, you were on it a while ago talking about all these outlets and all these entities, things you can see now, watch sports. And today I've sat here, I've been watching the Cubs play today. Then you can flip over and watch some golf. NASCAR's on. I mean, there's so many outlets now covering so many different things. The fans are pulled in so many different directions. And the number of fans watching events and attending events now, you're right, it is low. There's so many more other things to be watching and to do. And it's crazy. Don't y'all agree with that?
I 100% agree. I mean, that's just what it is. You know, people's view of entertainment nowadays is TikTok, which is 16, 30-second videos, you know, that they can sort through and swipe and see the same sound over and over again. People's attention to detail is just getting less and less, and what they're craving and what they like. You know, they listen to a podcast and they'll take 3 days to listen to one episode of a podcast because they'll listen to it in 20-minute bites. And you know, it's just it's how it is today. And I don't know if the game of football is going to change as a whole or what, but there's definitely going to be more demand for getting into as much attention as you can, because that's what UCLA and USC are doing. You know, the games that they're playing in now, they're going to play at, we all know that everybody, bettors always talked about, you know, well, you know, maybe your day could have been bad all Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, but at least you got Pac-12 football at night. Well, that's a smaller fragment of people that are watching those games. You're just cut off to the West Coast. They're wanting to get nationwide. That's right. So that's why they're going to the Big Ten.
And let me turn the corner here and go down another avenue and talking about just with the media and all. Beforehand, it might take 2 or 3 days to hear about a player transferring from a school or something. Guys, now it's happening in real time. And my wife and I talked this evening, and of course they had the article in the paper this morning about the number of players in the portal that's leaving Vanderbilt. It's unbelievable. And then this late yesterday or today, we get another report that they're number six pitcher, that was all this great talk about, a guy named Joe King from Ravenwood, has now decommitted from Vanderbilt, and he's going to look at his other options. And I tell you what, I hate saying it, but I know we've been losing a lot of players throughout transfers and stuff each year. That's a given, that don't get on the field a lot. But it's a way harder to go get players to get them into Vanderbilt than it is already have players there who can leave Vanderbilt. And I'm afraid Corps, which we all have said he's the GOAT, I think he's going to have to reinvent their way of keeping players or getting players there. And I think they're going to have to try to go get the best that they can to get in the portal to get them into Vanderbilt.
Hey, Tony, I appreciate the call. I do understand. I think that's reactionary. I think it's a little reactionary of Vanderbilt fans, because I've been seeing this on Twitter. I've been seeing this, you know, other places, Facebook groups, all these different things. I've seen people say that they feel that, you know, they're worried. There's people are transferring out of Vanderbilt. They're going to transfer, right? There's always been transfers. Do I think there's been as big of names transferring as much from Vanderbilt? No. But I do believe people are being a little bit reactionary. You know what's going to get people back into coming to Vanderbilt and getting them back to the king of the hill? It's winning. You know, what you were saying there, Tony, Corbin doesn't have to reinvent anything. Tim Corbin doesn't need to reinvent anything. You know what Tim Corbin needs to do again? Win. Just win, baby. If you win, they'll come. People want to play for you. They will want to play. They will do anything to play for Vanderbilt. And I think it speaks a little bit, too, that it is going to get tougher for Vanderbilt the more that they're not getting into Omaha, the more that you're not seeing Vanderbilt walk through the SEC because of talent level in the SEC and how tough SEC has gotten now in baseball, that it's going to be tougher. It's going to be tougher for every team. You know, every team's going to be fighting to bring in those those better prospects and those better people, those better kids, because of how tight the talent level is. But I do feel like Vandy fans right now are being a little reactionary to all the transfers and everything going on, because it's happening when Vanderbilt's not going to Omaha. It will be fixed when Tim Corbin's back to winning. And once again, that's just, these are those bumps in the roads with any team, any whatever, that you have to deal with if your favorite team's not winning. But if you trust your coach, which I think every Vandy fan trusts Tim Corbin, you know that he's going to get you back into those worlds. He's going to get you back into the winning side. And look, they were already winning. They just didn't get past the regionals.
So when you mean winning, you mean like winning championships. Because he won 39 games last year.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. It's
championship winning.
Beer problem, champagne problem, right? Okay. You know what I mean? It's that. These are the champagne problem is we didn't go to Omaha. We didn't win Omaha.
Okay.
So that's where I think people are going to, and kids are going to, look, kids are finicky. Kids are going to come up, go down, they're going to decommit, they're going to commit. I never trust a player when they say, oh, I commit to the school. Yeah, well, until I see you in the uniform, I don't trust you anyway. Because they always pull out, and there's some little note app, you know, please respect my decision, and then you got somebody's like, stop yelling at children for changing their mind. I don't believe any of it, because people decommit and commit all the time. So load carrying in my mind that I don't want to worry about it. But Corbs is going to figure it out. He's a winner. He's going to get them back on track. If Corbs is on this mic right now, he'd be like, can y'all just give me a year? You know, this is one down year, mm-hmm. down year, and we still got into postseason play.
Every great coach goes through it.
Everyone does. In
any league.
Everywhere. It always happens.
Yeah, it always happens.
I'm a young guy, and I know this.
Does Nick Saban
win? All you Vandy fans are the old guys. You're supposed to know this.
Does Nick Saban win every NC2A football championship? No.
No. But has he lost before and not made it into the Final Four? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how it happens. But he'll be back, you know, until the collectives get him. That's what he thinks. All right, we need to run to a break. Stephen Franklin will be first up when we come back. Phone lines open, 615-844-5600 here on the Afternoon Stretch.
We're still seeing a heavy and slow traffic down into Spring Hill through certain sections of Williamson County down there on 65 passing 840. Just a lot of traffic flow trying to get down into Murray County. Lots of radar out here. Be careful to the north. It's starting to slow down again on 65 northbound trying to get up past Vietnam Vets. Hey, Ripley's has a great summer camp experience lined up for the kids. Check it out at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Martin Truex Jr. has made a decision about his future, and it includes at least one more season in the NASCAR Cup Series. He had a short and direct statement saying, quote, I'm coming back. This is currently his 17th full-time Cup Series season, and next year will be his fifth with Joe Gibbs Racing. He won both stages this past weekend until falling to 22nd on the day. He sits 7th in the Cup Series standings and is still searching for his first win of the season, which is unusual for Martin at this point. Over the weekend, Dale Earnhardt Jr. made it clear that he intends to take his team, Junior Motorsports, Cup Series racing. The one thing standing in his way is getting a team charter that locks his car or cars into the race each weekend. It will most likely be a partial schedule at first, with Dale saying, quote, I don't think we'll be cup racing full-time in 2023, that's for certain, unless something amazing happens and something really awesome falls out of the sky. But right now, our sights are set beyond that, and we're really trying to figure it out, end quote. His team is having an amazing 2022 season in the Xfinity Series, though. 16 races in the books, and his team has 6 wins among Justin Allgaier, Josh Berry, and Noah Gragson, including victories in 5 of the last 7 races. Cup Series points leader Chase Elliott talks about points.
I feel like no gap is safe, right? I mean, we had a pretty big one there at one point, and the world we live in now with stages, you know, more so on road courses, I guess, than anything. But the best way to look at it is just try to be fighting for wins, and if we're doing that, I think the points thing will be kind of take care of itself.
The 4th of July sale is on at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Almost everything is 50 to 70% off. Plus, take an extra 10% off. Doorbusters start at just $5. But hurry, the sale ends July 5th, only at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Shop for the season with 50% off everything at Banana Republic Factory. Discover adventure-ready styles from effortless dresses to utility classics from $24.99. Find your nearest store or shop online. Only at Banana Republic Factory.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Bundling home and car insurance with GEICO is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. But who? They may drop little hints like,
beautiful day out. Even more beautiful since we saved by bundling our home and car insurance with GEICO.
Or,
yard work is hard. Much harder than bundling with GEICO, which was easy.
Or it may be even subtler, like,
speaking of burgers, we bundled our home and car insurance with GEICO and saved a bunch of money.
Bundling is easy with GEICO. Just ask your neighbors.
Welcome back to the afternoon stretch. Let's go to the phone lines quickly here. Steve in Franklin. Steve, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. I'm good. Hope you are well. Hey, I thought you guys would be heading to Coney Island to beat Chestnut, a hot dog eating contest.
First off, I get grossed out of watching those, you know? So many hot dogs, and they're just shoving them down, dipping it in water.
I'm going to have my own at the house. I don't need to go anywhere to do one.
Is he going to break the record, Steve?
Is he still the guy at Chestnut? Or
yeah, it is. Yeah,
what's the number?
Yeah. I think it's like 42.
Is it 40?
I might be wrong. I got to see how many hot dogs it is.
Y'all going to bet on that? Is there any odds on your...
I don't think FanDuel's holding that one. I'm not sure.
That's disgusting. But, hey, if you see me on the beach, let's play that... What's that trampoline game they play now where you bounce the ball?
Oh, it's spike ball.
Yeah. I saw that on ESPN. That's like a college club sport now.
Mm-hmm. That's where it started, man. At UTC, when I was there, there was always people on the quad playing spike ball. I mean, like 5-6 of them going at a time. It was crazy.
The record says 103. No. I take that back.
Oh,
that
was Crystal
Burgers. No, it's Crystal Burgers. Wow, that was 2007.
That was in Chattanooga where that was set.
So yeah. July 4th, it was last year was 76 francs.
76 hot dogs, yes. Steve. I think you can get 78.
How do you not have a heart attack right there?
He lost 10 years of his life.
Hey, when y'all interview Dave Stewart, ask him about what Fernando Valenzuela did to him on the day he threw his no-hitter.
Okay.
That's a good story. Yeah, well, the old Dodger pitcher?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just ask him that story. It's a great story. He was a great pitcher.
Yep. Cool.
We will try to work that in there, Steve. I appreciate you calling in, my man. First hour is in the books, Ray.
76
hot dogs. How many do you think right now actually you could get down?
Like 10?
10? That's a lot. I don't know. That's tough for me. I had a hot dog.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not eating anything for like 2 days.
Yeah. I am a hot dog at that point. Like, that's just what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. All right. On the other side, we're going to have Dave Stewart jumping in with us. Start the 5 o'clock hour. Talk about some baseball in Nashville. Don't go anywhere.
News. I'm Derek Dennis. A review of financial records by ABC News found former President Trump's Political Action Committee has paid nearly $500,000 to law firms that employ attorneys representing people who are now part of the January 6th probe.
ABC News has learned President Trump's PAC paid nearly $500,000 to law firms representing Trump allies being investigated by the January 6th House Select Committee. Some of those associates include Stephen Bannon, Peter Navarro, and Dan Scavino. All have fought to avoid testifying before the committee investigating the attack on the Capitol. Some committee members say that arrangement raises concerns about possible witness intimidation.
A Trump spokesperson in a statement to ABC News pushed back on the committee's reporting. A record number of travelers are hitting the roads and skies this holiday weekend, but delays and cancellations are mounting. A ground stop has been issued at several major airports due to severe storms. FlightAware shows there are 4,100 flight delays and cancellations. This is ABC News.
COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too. If you feel symptoms, even if they're mild, you should test fast. Test positive and at high risk for severe COVID-19? Then act fast with authorized oral treatments that can be taken at home and must be taken within 5 days from when symptoms begin. COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too by asking your healthcare provider if an oral treatment is right for you. Learn about a treatment option at treatcv19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
Mr. Clean. So a friend told me about Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, and his exact words were, "It changed my life.
I used to spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to remove tomato sauce from inside our microwave and soap scum off the bathtub.
It's like seriously magic, and my secret weapon for cleaning the kitchen, bathroom, doors and walls, and even keeping my sneakers clean.
Mr. Clean Magic Eraser,
greatest invention ever.
Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, the unicorn of cleaning.
Greg Pogue back once again to tell you about Bongo Java, Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company, now also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Reward yourself for surviving Nashville traffic with fresh, locally roasted coffee, classic handcrafted espresso drinks, and fresh baked goods all day long. And free Wi-Fi, so you don't have to work from home. Number one in customer service. You made it through the traffic. Reward yourself with a perfect pick-me-up at Bongo Java. Fresh coffee, delicious treats, great atmosphere. Open 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. daily. Bongo Java at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Here's a not-so-fun fact. A new law just raised the minimum amount that stores can charge for a case of wine or spirits.
What?
But don't worry. You'll still have time to stock up at Total Wine & More with our unbeatable case discounts.
Ooh!
Through the end of this year, you'll get the best discount on cases of your favorite wine and spirits.
Wow! With those low prices, I'm going to need another cart.
We don't know why the 16th state wants you to pay 16% more, but we'll always have the lowest prices in Tennessee. Drink responsibly. B21.
It's the Afternoon Stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagans.
I gotta tell you something. It's kind of a self-embarrassing story. I'm just hanging out with my mom, and she's watching My 600-Pound Life.
Great show.
The woman was 670 pounds, and her boyfriend, I'm like, no way, looks like me.
The Afternoon Stretch. Afternoon Stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Okay, it's happening.
It's the Afternoon Stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm. Sure. Stay calm.
Now here's Bruno and Zach.
Second hour of the Afternoon Stretch here on Nashville Sports Radio. Ray Dosky, Zach Williams, no Bruno Reagan today. We're going to be short hour here as we got Braves baseball taking over on the station, but we're always happy to have you inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio on this Friday before the weekend, long holiday weekend. We've been talking a ton of baseball this week. We've been talking about the past couple weeks. There's always a buzz whenever you get this conversation going here in Nashville because so many people, you know, Nashville for baseball, it's such a transit city because you have such a melting pot of fans, it feels like. You got Reds fans, you got Braves fans, you got Cardinals fans, Cubs, Yankees. You got all mixed in here because there is no home. You know, there's no home for the Nashville city who, you know, now you have MLS soccer, you have NFL, you have NHL, you have all these different things, but it feels like there's a real hunger for it for people here in Nashville. Well, one guy's trying to fix that for everybody on here. We want to welcome onto the show 89 World Series MVP, three-time World Series champion, Dave Smoke Stewart, joining us on the show today. Dave, thank you so much for taking some time to join us here today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, first off, before we go any further, so Dave, I'm 29 years old. You won your last World Series when I was born in 93. So just to age myself immediately out of any kind of relevance in your life. But I want to know, where did the nickname Smoke come from? Because we talk a lot of MMA on here, and MMA nicknames are huge. They're a really big deal because nobody can give themselves nicknames. Where did Smoke come from?
It's a name that one of my Little League buddies gave me when I was playing Little League. And it's crazy because it came from, I was a catcher, a Little League, and most of high school, pitched a little bit in high school, but mostly caught. And, you know, I used to throw down to second base when runners were stealing from my knees. And so a guy named Tack Wilson, who eventually signed with the Dodgers as well, was calling me Smoke when I was 11 and 12 years old, but it didn't catch on until he actually signed with the Dodgers as well. and now we're both in minor league spring training, and he's coming in, and he's on one side of the locker room. I'm on the other side of the locker room, and he hollers, "Hey, Smoke, what are you doing, Smoke?" And everybody turned around to see who he was talking to, and it stuck with me from that time on.
That's how awesome is that, to go from little league all the way up to minor league into the majors? I mean, that's a fun relationship to have, I imagine.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's crazy if you know much about the city of Oakland and the talent that comes out of the Bay Area. A lot of players that I played little league baseball with or played Babe Ruth with and ended up playing professionally against or with, Ricky Henderson being one of them. Ricky and I competed against each other through high school, and then it went on through the minor leagues, and then we ended up being teammates and as well as opponents in the big leagues.
Dave Stewart is our guest. You have a new title now. That new title is the Leading the Diversity Equity Ownership Initiative with the Music City Baseball group that's here in Nashville. Essentially, you're trying to find an owner to come in and take over baseball here in Nashville, correct?
Well, I'd like to be the owner. But you know what we're trying to do is a minority/diverse opportunity to own a Major League Baseball team. It's never been done before in Major League history, and we would be the first minority-owned team. And I am the one that's leading that group. And so basically, I'm putting together a group of individuals, both minorities and diverse, to bring a baseball team to Nashville.
What is that, you know, obviously what you were saying there about the minority ship of not having anybody in the MLB, any kind of minority owner in the MLB, what does that do for the game of baseball, you think?
Well, in our conversations with different owners in the league as well as the commissioner, I think we're in a ripe time for minority ownership. It's something that the commissioner applauds, as well as several owners of baseball teams, and it's something that they're looking forward to. And expansion is the second piece of the puzzle. And yeah, you know, there's been a lot of talk of expansion over the last few days from the commissioner's mouth about adding two teams, and so the expansion piece of it is very real, and it's something that's starting to pick up momentum. And the black ownership piece, baseball has been played for a long time, and there are no black owners. There are two managers at the major league level at this time, and there are no black general managers. Kenny Williams is the vice president of the Chicago White Sox, but you know, those numbers, and Jackie Robinson 75 years ago broke the color barrier, and we're still making small strides in the game for, you know, the identity of minority ownership / minority managers, coaches, and people in front offices making decisions. And so it's time. The commissioner, as I said, we had meaningful conversation with him. He believes that, you know, we're in a ripe period for Major League Baseball.
Dave Stewart's our guest right now. I got to think, just on the air, Chris Bacon helped set this interview up, obviously, and he also sent me a Nashville Stars uniform. Well, that dug me into, you know, really looking into the Nashville Stars. Can you tell us a little bit about keeping that heritage of the Nashville Stars into Music City Baseball and trying to get that as the team here in Nashville?
Once again, it would be another historic moment. You know, the Nashville Stars were a Negro League team that played in Nashville in the 40s and 50s. And we, as an organization, adopted that name. We branded it. We patented it. And that would be a first for Major League Baseball to have a team named in honor of a Negro League team. And, you know, we're an organization that's we're interested in doing a lot of firsts. But the diverse piece of it, I think, is the greatest thing that we can offer Major League Baseball, being able to build an organization on diversity and inclusion is what we would like to do as an organization.
It's something that's really been fascinating to think about, because there's so many questions, and I know you've probably been hit with them all now at this point about Nashville and MLB, and you mentioned the expansion talk there from the MLB. How important is it for Nashville as a whole? Because we've seen already the stories that have been out there about trying to get on TSU's campus and the building and everything out in that area. What, you know, how important is it for stadium planning to be at least in the works for the MLB to consider a city?
Well, I think it's very important. It shows a level of sincerity and seriousness on our part to Major League Baseball and anybody that's looking on. And I think we've done a great job of that. John Lohr has had his feet on the ground here for the last 4 years, doing all of the planning from the branding to site to you name it. John Lohr has done it, and he's done a tremendous job. I keep referring back to this. You know, our conversations inside that commissioner's office were very meaningful, and I felt proud to be a part of this organization and to have John as a partner in this.
I'm gonna ask you a question, Dave, and you can tell me to shut up if I think it's one that maybe you haven't been asked before. In your eyes, you know all about this. You've been studying all this and the inner workings of Nashville and MLB. What is something that you think there are, if any, hiccups that could actually be a problem to getting MLB here in Nashville?
What do I see as a problem?
What could be a problem?
I've never thought of what the problem would be, because it's Nashville is one of the first names that is spoken when the commissioner speaks about expansion baseball. There are already major sports that are being played there, football, soccer, hockey. The support of the city has shown what they will do with major sports. The building and growth of the population in Nashville, I'm not sure if there's a roadblock what it would be. For Nashville not to get a team. I quite frankly, as I said, I've never thought of why it wouldn't happen. I've only dreamt of the reasons that it will happen and when it's going to happen.
Dave Stewart is our guest. I like that answer. I like that answer, because it really is a, I think there is an open side to this. One thing that a lot of local Nashvillians worry about is the tax side. Looking at the money, there's things they're talking, you have Tennessee Titans trying to put up a new stadium right now. Davidson County sometimes feels like their wallet's fully out. But that's something that, Dave, y'all are trying to avoid, essentially.
Well, I mean, obviously, the Nashville Stars, any assistance from the community, we would accept that. But we're not entering into this with the expectation that we're going to get support or help from Nashville or the state of Tennessee. We're entering this with the vision that we'll build our ballpark. We'll build an entertainment venue, and we'll do a development similar to what all major league teams are doing around the ballpark. That's going to be good for the Nashville area.
Dave, what has been your favorite parts of Nashville so far, digging into this area and getting involved in the community here? I know you're still transitioning to Nashville, but so far, what have you fallen in love with this city?
Just the people. I mean, whether tourists or citizens of Nashville, the people are absolutely outstanding. I've not met one person that is not having a good time. It's a good time city. And I'm not speaking of being in the downtown area where you've got bar after bar or restaurant after restaurant. The city in general, I've been in all areas, and it's just a tremendous city full of great people.
I think it's something that, as you heard in my opening remarks to starting the interview, is There's so many different fans, you know, Braves fans, Reds fans, all across here, just all of them, you know, mixed in that have been in Nashville. They've never really had a home to say a team was their team. How quickly and how easily do you think, say tomorrow we find out, I know it's not going to be, let's live in a hypothetical situation. Say tomorrow the MLB is granted Nashville the team. It's going to be the Nashville Stars. How quickly do you think the fandom from Braves fans or Reds fans or Cubs fans will change to Nashville Stars fans?
Well, this I know from being a fan of the San Francisco Giants for as long as I can remember until I became an A. Fans don't necessarily change coats because all of a sudden Nashville has a team. So what I do think and what I do believe, and this is through my own personal experience, when the Giants aren't playing well, I'm perfectly happy rooting for the Oakland A's. And when my favorite team comes in town, whether it's the Yankees or the Giants or Sanford or Cincinnati or St. Louis, you know, there's going to be rivalries because of the close proximity of the different cities, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Atlanta. There's going to be an instant rivalry. But what's great about it is that you can root for the Nashville Stars because they are your home team, but it also allows you the opportunity to go to the ballpark and see teams that you've rooted for since you were a young child.
I think that's a huge part of this. I really do. I think it's there's been a lot of discussion. People think that Nashville can't hold an MLB team, and I've been on the side that I think they can, because kind of what you were saying earlier, you look at the NFL success here, whether it had been the draft or you look at the Stanley Cup run that the Predators have had, or you look at all these different things. No matter what, Nashville has always shown up and shown out to celebrate these different things and be a part of them and be a giant party here in Nashville, that I think an MLB team can succeed here. The one thing that I look at as a bit of a hiccup, and I don't know if there's anything that you could say on it, is the Nashville Sounds being here as well. Do you think that would be something that an MLB team can coexist here in Nashville with a minor league program, especially one that that's been so rich with history here in Nashville?
You know, I'm not really sure how that process is going to happen or what's going to happen. I wish I had a crystal ball and I could answer that question, but we do know that the Sounds have been successful. They've been able to draw fans day in and day out, year after year. They've had a great success with attendance as well as the fan experience. But I can't tell you at this time how that will play out in the long term.
Dave Stewart has been our guest. Smoke so much. I appreciate it so much that you came on. I hope we can get you on down the road. Everybody go follow him on Twitter at DSmoke34 because this is a ton of new exciting things here on Nashville and inside of Nashville that you need to be abreast of. And Dave's going to be the guy that you definitely want to know in this business. That Dave, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dave Stewart, once again, 89 World Series MVP, three-time World Series champion. I wanted to ask him, which I don't even know. I didn't want to do this because I feel like it's one of those questions. I feel like it's one of those questions you can't ask parents, right? Choose your favorite child. You know, you can't choose your favorite child. I wanted to ask him, which World Series championship is your favorite? You know, because, I mean, I imagine it's the 89 World Series because he was an MVP of it. But I didn't know if that would be crossing the line too much.
Absolutely. Dave Stewart was one of those guys I grew up watching during his time with the Elkton Athletics. I mean, he was awesome. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to ask him, but I was going to see what his thoughts were about. Like, because we in the Major League Baseball, you see two other teams that are dealing with troubleshoot issues with their stadium, with the Tampa Bay Rays, mm-hmm. as well as Oakland Athletics, his former team. And I was wondering, outside, you guys spoke about expansion. I wanted to know what the opportunity of, like, if one of those teams would be in play in terms of relocating here to Nashville outside of expansion, because I think expansion would probably be the next move if they just can't get one of those two existing franchises. Does that sound right?
Yeah, well, you know, for
Oakland, that'd be plan B, right? I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
That'd be what you hope for, I guess. Yeah. But Oakland, all the rumors are pointing towards exactly where the Raiders are going, or where they did go, and it's Las Vegas. I feel like for Oakland, that's one that is almost a dead set lock that I feel like they're going to be in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is very much, it does have a leg up on Nashville because one, it's got so much land, so much area out there, huge tourist destination, obviously, but also a ton of money at its disposal, ready to go to, you know, facilitate a league and or a team and a stadium and all this. I would say that's probably where Oakland's going to end up because I don't think they stay in Oakland, personally. The Rays, though, that's the one that everybody keeps hoping on and hoping for that they're able to get to come to Nashville. I would take a venture to guess that Music City Baseball probably would not want them to come here. They would rather do Nashville Stars baseball here locally. You know, because that's what they're leaning on. I mean, if you look at everything, it's Nashville Stars everywhere, and I think it's a great name. You don't want to have the Nashville Rays, you know, or the you might want the Nashville Rays for being named Ray, but Nashville Rays
a little dig there.
Yeah, I mean, you would probably
They would change the name.
I don't know. I don't think they would.
What happened to the Houston Oilers? They relocated here. They became the Titans.
Yep.
Memphis Grizzlies. That's the name that did not change when they came down from Vancouver.
Vancouver Grizzlies. Yes. Los Angeles Lakers.
Are there any Grizzlies in Memphis? I don't think so. I don't think there's any Grizzlies in Memphis.
I hope not.
I haven't seen one.
I'm not going to Memphis again if there are Grizzlies there. That's for sure. But no, it's something that I've been pretty openly critical of it because I understand from the tax side, from the money side, you know, this city and this county has already opened their wallets up so much, and I wonder if it's going to be a Braves situation. You know, where they're not really in Atlanta anymore. They're outside of Atlanta, and maybe they could do that here. I know a lot of this is just finding that funding to get a stadium built that the taxpayers are not trying to. I really feel, I mean, that's when I look at it, and you look at the Sounds too. If the Sounds were a bad product, fine. You know, that move them on, do whatever with them.
Right.
But as a whole, the Sounds are not a bad product. You know, they're pulling in 10,000 some odd every day almost for their games, all their games, 10,000 plus. You know, they do a lot with Sounds baseball. So it's a good product. How are you going to how are those two going to live? I think that's for me is the biggest speed bump for baseball coming to Nashville or pro baseball coming to Nashville. Can they overcome that hurdle? We'll find out. All right, everybody, we are done today. Appreciate Dave Stewart jumping on with us. Appreciate all you calling in, commenting in, watching in, however you did. Greatly appreciate it. I am gone for the next week. I will be back 2 Mondays from now. So have a safe 4th of July weekend. Come back all in one piece. I appreciate everybody. Remember, if nobody's told you, I love you and you matter. I also want to apologize for what Bruno's going to do to the show next week. Ray, you got to keep him in line. All right, everybody. Have a safe weekend. See you next time here on Nashville Sports Radio.
This is exclusive coverage of the Atlanta Braves on WPDQ, Drexboro, WNSR.